What's up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of the TM Podcast. I'm your host, Chuck. And just based on kind of the things that have been happening over the last, you know, year at least, in the last couple months in particular, and then an event that happened this week, I really kind of wanted to touch on and like refresh, you know, the healing power or the power of music when it comes to, you know, your mental health and everything like that. That's one of the things I really believe in. I really connect with is music and its power, kind of like as a catharsis a little bit. So, you know, we've lost a lot of people in the last, you know, year, whether it be to, you know, whatever the situation is. Like, it could be violence, it could be, you know, the pandemic that's been going on or complications from that. It could be, you know, just various health issues, things like that. But almost everybody recently has been touched by grief. And, you know, I just kind of am still kind of coming to terms with the personal tragedy that happened, as well as like a few other things that have happened like recently, to where everything's coming together. And for me, my way of coping and my way of healing typically is to kind of like just drown myself in sonics. So music, atmosphere, everything like that. I don't want to distract myself, but I kind of want to just focus my feelings into like a, how should I say, into a productive or, you know, cathartic environment for me. And music has always kind of provided that, because I can feel, you know, what the music has to say. So today I'm going to be talking about that. Well, you know, I'll talk about, like, you know, just my experience with music and then just kind of what's been going on recently. So with this episode, I want to first and foremost dedicate it to my homeboy Kareem Bernard. He's the author of the Billy Adventure series, and I just found out that he passed not too long ago. But I just found out, so that's kind of like what's inspiring this episode. But this is a man who I've known him since I was young, kind of our formative years together. And, you know, I never would have thought that that he would have been a children's author. But 100%, like, you know, he tried a bunch of different things, or he did a bunch of different things. And this was like one of the things he was really passionate about. And it kind of inspired me to hear him talk about it. So I just recently found out that he passed. But this is a man that kind of went for his dream and kind of was his own self-made person. And that's kind of what's inspiring this episode here. So just give me like a few minutes to a few minutes to, you know, think about it for a little bit, and then, you know, we'll progress with the episode. But yeah, once again, thanks everybody for listening. You can hit me up on Twitter at iCastTMP. You can join the Facebook group, send me ideas. If you know me personally, just hit me up. If you got an idea for a show, I'll be happy to do it. All right, be right back. So in the research kind of leading up to this episode, I came across a quote that said, you don't move on from grief. You move forward with it. And 2021, man, like, we're, you know, at this point, I feel like almost everybody is kind of moving on, having been affected or having lost somebody. Just because, I mean, we do still have a worldwide pandemic going on. So a lot of family members, maybe you were close to, or maybe you weren't close to, have gone on recently, and a lot of times unexpectedly, right? And, you know, if it wasn't that, you know, just naturally people passing on. But these last couple of years, or this last year and a half, has been like pretty tough for a lot of people. And that doesn't, you know, it just kind of shows that, like, you know, it doesn't matter who you are as a person, right? Like, you can be the poorest person or you can be the richest person, you know, somehow when it's your time to go, you know, you're going to move on. And it's tough to deal with for the people that are left behind. I did like a little bit of research going into like trying to focus the theme of what I wanted to say, because first and foremost, like I want this podcast, the spine of it to be about music and mental health, because those are two things I think like are very tightly connected, at least for me. And when it comes to grief, like typically music is a celebration, right? It brings people together, and through that togetherness, that's how we bond and that's how we move forward. And what's tough sometimes is that, you wish you could hear people's voice or, have another conversation with that person. And what's lucky for musicians in particular is that, they make a form of art that is, very much a conversation. It's them, speaking or playing their instrument, but either way, like expressing themselves through sound. And that sound connects, with you and forms a memory or forms a bond. So what's, particularly interesting about that is that, the way that the music connects with the memory, it kind of takes you back to that place, where you first met this person or when you first heard their voice, or like at certain times when you hear their voice, like did this person console you? Did they make you feel better when you were feeling bad, or were you feeling good and they just upped the level up to like the highest level? And, if you felt sad, did they like help you get through that sadness, like through that music or through that voice? And what sadly has happened in the last, few months, has been a lot of artists, especially from like my formative years, have passed, right? I just got done watching a documentary called I Got a Story to Tell, the story of Biggie Smalls on Netflix. And don't ask me why I watched it, because immediately when they show the parade in Brooklyn, it's Biggie's funeral procession, they show the parade in Brooklyn, I just started bawling, man, because like, having lost a couple people, I lost my aunt recently and my homie Kareem, man. And for me, like, I'm kind of conflicted because I don't really. I try to take things, as, just kind of matter of fact, very pragmatic about stuff a lot of times. Like, I don't want to tie too much emotion into it. But then sometimes, art or sometimes things like this will kind of force that emotion out of me, which is, it's kind of weird, but, I think in a lot of ways it makes sense. That's why paintings are worth so much, right? Because they make you feel a certain way. And I always feel like, no matter what price tag you put on art, money is temporary. It doesn't mean anything. It's value. So like I might have drew a stick figure, but it might have been a stick figure that was on a love letter, and that love letter that I gave to whoever, that might have been the most important thing to them at that time. You know what I mean? So like you talk about value, doesn't mean money, right? Biggie CD, when it came out, $17, right? And off of that, he's headed home through his hometown, and everybody's out there. It's a big old parade, man. Like $17, was it enough or was it too much? Was it not enough? What's the value of that? But I say that to say this, everybody kind of leaves a legacy behind, and that's, what's really important. One of the artists that we lost this year, a big one kind of for me, was DMX. And out of my brain, I want to say, oh, I didn't see this coming. My heart is like, I'm happy it happened. Not happy, but it happened when it did and not earlier, right? Because we could have lost DMX probably at any time, especially like when he was younger. He was like a legit, like, wild man. We saw that with ODB, where, he was too wild for this earth, man. Like, you couldn't contain him. Like, you had to take, it felt like he had to leave because he wasn't meant to be here. You know what I mean? Not in a bad way or a negative way, but like, this world is about constraint. It's about rules. It's about, you know, kind of tying people down, making them all follow, you know, what everybody else is doing. And ODB was one of those people that's not like that. I also felt like DMX was kind of, I don't want to say like he's wild, like he's busting out, but he's just kind of like, this is the counter to what's going on. Whatever is happening, whatever y'all are doing, he's doing something different and making it new and making it better, right? And I think DMX's legacy, I'm gonna be real with y'all. I haven't listened to any of the classic DMX music since he died, man. It hit me like hard in a way that like when I listen to his music, like I always want to turn up. I want to party. I want to, you know, we're going to have a good time. If you put on some DMX, I'm wilding out. I'm bench pressing 500 pounds. I'm going to, you know, throw something as hard as I can. You know, that's just what his music did to me, which is kind of funny too, because Low Key, High Key, one of my favorite songs by DMX, or the one that probably hit me the hardest when I heard it, was A-OK Though, which is him rapping about his dead homie. And I was just like, you know, he always rapped about, like, he rapped about everything, man. Full spectrum rapper. He rapped about everything and kind of kept it real. It was kind of humorous. It was kind of dark. You know, he touched on a lot of spirituality, which people don't really give him a lot of credit for. But he was like one of those artists that, like, you know, it's a time to listen to DMX. You can't listen to DMX when you need to act right. You know what I mean? This is a time for us to act out, for us to be who we are, like, as a free spirit. So he passed, and to be honest, his new album came out like last week, I think. And the only song that I've listened to is the one with him and Jay-Z and Nas. And I kind of listened to it because, you know, I wanted to see what it was about. And to me, I'm not sure like what the history of it is, but to me, it sounds like an older song, maybe from like not quite as far back as Belly, but definitely some vintage Jay-Z on there. It sounds like, I don't know what he's rapping like now. He's going down to Africa for this new album, but it didn't sound current, but it sounded like in that classic era, or like that post-classic era, maybe like right after Backstage or something. I don't know. I'll look it up. I'll find out like when they actually recorded that song. Nas sounds fresh on it though. and I'll talk about Nas on a different episode. I got a Nas episode coming up, but I checked that out. Less for DMX and more for those two, because I wanted to hear that combination. There's a classic album cover. It's DMX, Ja Rule, and Jay-Z when they were going to do the Murder, Inc. supergroup. And it's a classic XXL cover, because on the front, it's got the three of them all black with their hands behind their back. And then on the back of the cover, they're each holding different weapons. The one's got a bat, one's got a chain. it's real crazy. It's real crazy. But when I saw that track listing, that's what I thought of. I thought of that album cover, replace Nas with Ja Rule or whatever. Anyways. Like I said, it's a time and place. So DMX connects to me, like, I'm young, it's high school, like maybe right after high school. We're about to go to the club. For those of y'all that grew up with me, it was the Krypton. It was me, my boys, a bunch of Germans, a bunch of Turks, and we were just going to mix it up. That's just what was going to happen. You know, I could picture my boy K9 punching some dude from halfway across the club, listening to Party Up, you know, cause y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here, you know, that's what we were doing. So, you know, DMX connects with me that way. And I just think, you know, it's going to crush me to listen to his music now, because I'm still processing, you know, the fact that he's not here. But his legacy lives on, you know, like 20 years from now, you're going to be watching Any Given Sunday or something. And that scene is going to come on. You know what scene I'm talking about? Or you're watching Deadpool and that scene is going to come on. And you're just going to be like, yo, this is one of the greatest, you know, to ever do it. Underrated. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'll get to it when, you know, when I'm ready. But, you know, on the other hand, you have a rapper like Black Rob, who just passed like right after DMX, as a matter of fact. And there was like a whole controversy about, you know, because he filmed this video, and he's talking about it, but he's in a hospital bed. And I don't even know how many people knew he was sick or how many people were even paying attention to Black Rob at this time, right before he passed, which is this year, so recently. And to me, like, life story, when that came out, I was in high school and I had my little Discman and my headphones and I'd be sitting on the bus, and I'm not going to say I'm an introvert, man, but like I would just sink into the music. So I'm sitting on the bus. I don't really mess with nobody on the bus. Like all my homies live like closer to the school or whatever. So they walk to school. I'm catching the bus because I live a ways away. So I'd hop on. I had these Sony headphones and I had my little Discman or whatever. And I had a life story and I just play it. And I had it timed out. I could listen to, you know, exactly which songs before it was time to get off the bus or whatever. One of my favorite Black Rob songs was Can I Live, off of Life Story, which an incredible album. I think Whoa was dope, but it was kind of like, I don't want to say gimmicky is not the word, but like, you know, it had a little catchy. It's kind of like Han from Juvenile. Like, is it going to be his best song, like, lyrically, like, the way he puts the story together? No. Because, it's, you know, it's a party song. And the fun in the song is an interaction. So you saying, whoa, whoa, da-da-da-da-da-da, like, whoa. You know, everybody's saying that. And you get to interact with the song, right? But this man was so talented that, like, he could write a story and it would be very cinematic, like Scorsese, but, you know, with dirt rubbed on it. It's like a grimy, you know, like hip hop story. And it covered a lot of stuff. Like he had like love stories in there. He had, you know, the braggadocious raps or whatever. But like he would tell a whole story in three verses. Reminiscent of kind of like Biggie, how he had I Got a Story to Tell. But Black Rob did it almost at the level of Slick Rick, right? Like this is like a new version of Slick Rick. So I can go back and listen to a Black Rob album because it's kind of like watching a documentary or watching a movie, watching a play. You know, I can go back and listen to that because it doesn't, you know. When he passed, I watched the Whoa video. I went back, I watched Let's Get It. I watched a bunch of his videos, because low key, like at that era, Black Rob was like one of my favorite rappers, and it was easier for me to listen to him because it's more like a conversation. Like he's telling me something, right? We sitting down, kind of like a campfire situation where he's just like, check out this crazy thing that happened, and then here's the song. So it's less of a time and place situation for Black Rob, because it's kind of like picking up the phone and talking to your homie. This is just for me, right? Now, when I hear him passing, it's just kind of like, man, you know, we lost a great storyteller that we didn't really get a chance to, or we didn't really appreciate him. Towards the end of his life, right? Like, obviously, everybody that you talk to about Black Rob right now is either going to bring up Whoa and how it was a classic or his storytelling ability. We all got pretty much the same story, but, you know, that flame didn't last that long just because everything that happened with Bad Boy or whatever, and, like, he was only on a few on a few songs, like compared to like some of the other more prolific rappers. And you know, because it was so short, like it's so far away or like so locked into that part of time, I guess it's easier for me to listen to like his music after he passed. I don't know. I don't know. There's probably some psychology behind that. But you know, another big rapper that we lost this year, kind of unexpected out of the blue, was Shock G. And I consider myself a Digital Underground fan because Digital Underground came out at a time like hip hop was still kind of fun. We hadn't made like the full everybody's a super hardcore gangster at this point, right? And hip hop was more influenced by just funk. And you know, if we ever sit down to have like a long conversation about music, I will go into my love for everything funk. Because to me, it's just like the freest form of music. And hip hop kind of had funk in it, and a lot of hits are based on funk, but I wouldn't really say like there was a funk group. Like there was a couple back in the day, but Digital Underground kind of made the funk more commercial, number one. Number two, anything that came out of the Bay, I was messing with. I have no idea, man. I've been in San Francisco one time in an airport, never been to Oakland. I love anything that comes out of the Bay. Don't ask me why. I can't really tell you. I've been an E-40 fan since the beginning. RBL Posse, San Quentin, Rappin' Forte, Drew Down. Like, this was the Loonies. Like, this is all I used to listen to back in the day. I think a lot of it was because they were independent, so like they were putting out their own music, and they found a way to like kind of buck the traditional label system. And I always admired that. Like, if you listen to if I was to run down like the list of my favorite artists, most of them are independent. And I don't mean like independent like you never heard of them. I mean like they're famous and they own most of their stuff. Just because that's the kind of like spirit I admire. And typically you end up with a better, less commercialized product because you don't have so many people saying, well, you can't do this or you can't say that. So Digital Underground was kind of one of those groups like back in the day where, I mean, they were doing movie soundtracks and not like hood movie soundtracks. They were doing like Tom Hanks movie soundtracks. And, you know, without Digital Underground, you get a different version of Tupac, right? Because Tupac was originally a roadie for them. And they would take him out and he would perform. He was on the same song, Digital Underground, I think, like either as he was coming out or like right before he came out. And I just watched an interview with them, and like they weren't saying like he was a part of Digital Underground, but he was like with the crew or whatever. And that's kind of like what gave us the version of Tupac that we got. Again, rest in peace to Pac. You know, that whole crazy situation, but that's been talked about ad nauseum to death, you know. I don't really have more to add to that conversation. But it was kind of shocking for to see, pardon the pun, it was kind of shocking that, you know, Shock G passed, because when you sit back and you realize the influence that he had on rap at such a high level at that period of time, you know, not only did he have like bring in the funk influence, he made music fun. He kind of like commercialized, you know, West Coast hip hop, which was kind of already blowing up, but like he kind of put it in like a major movie way. And maybe y'all remember this, maybe y'all don't, but in the 90s, like every movie started to get like hip hop artists So that was kind of like a way for hip hop artists to kind of break out. Again, MC Hammer on Adam's Family, the Street Fighter soundtrack, whatever you think about the movie, I personally love it, but whatever you think about that movie, man, that soundtrack was hard. It was ridiculous. But, you know, there's a lot of movies that would have like one or two hip hop songs on it. Ghostbusters had Bobby Brown. I mean, a lot of stuff. But they kind of like took this genre of music that, you know, besides MC Hammer, who was ridiculous, like pop star at the time, they were kind of showing that other side of it. Like, all right, Hammer's fun, but like Hammer's fun in like the, you know, we're going to do a lock in at the church type fun. And Digital Underground was like, we're going to smell some different stuff when when you come around. Like, this ain't going to be a clean fun. You're going to leave with all kind of syrup stains all over you. And that's like kind of what they brought into to the music. So like for Shock G, Digital Underground, like it's kind of the same thing, like where it's a time and place to listen to them. But I think like the music that they made back in the day was like so timeless and so like timeless in one sense and then locked into an era, just kind of like how funk was. Like you listen to funk and you feel like you're in a different like era slash maybe a different planet. Like, you know, this is some freewheeling stuff. This isn't just, you know, just us doing what we normally do. It's kind of free from constraint. So I went back and watched, you know, a couple interviews with Shock G. I listened to like a little bit of his music, just to kind of like go down memory lane and just kind of show tribute, you know, in my own personal way for him. So then again, like kind of going into like researching this episode, and I'm looking at, you know, what does music do to help people get through grief? And, it's that connection, you know, to memories. So, you know, it's different when it's a musician that passes, because they leave the music and they kind of tell you like, all right, even though I'm gone, you know, this is how I felt at this time. This is how I felt at this time. You know, this is how we felt. Like you felt this way because I made the music that made you feel this way. Or like you fell in love to this song, or you watched this movie that had this song on the soundtrack. Or like you're connected to that artist in a particular way. And I think the other part of that, you know, when you're just dealing with grief with somebody who's not, you know, who doesn't leave behind that gift, that art, is you can connect music to like that time period. So like, you know, I'm thinking about my boy, Kareem, and like when we were growing up, this is like right around the time that, you know, I'm big into hardcore hip hop. Like I am becoming the hip hop head that, you know, is, you know, the one that decided to make a podcast about hip hop and mental health. Right. I'm becoming that person. And it's me, it's my boy, Will, who he's like the free spirit of the group. And that's something I always admired about him, or I still do admire about him, is he kind of goes by his own way. It's just super interesting. I don't think we've ever had a boring conversation. That's never happened. And it's kind of weird because like our personalities, like you put the two of us together, he's like, as in terms of like the creativity aspect, like he would be like where I was trying to be. If I was ever trying to be like more creative or more like outside the box thinking, you know, he would be like that goal that I was trying to get to. On the other hand, Kareem, was kind of like, I don't know how to put this, man. Like he was, he was the one that provided like the guidance, kind of like the street smarts. He was like always the first one to like pull me to the side and be like, hey, let's do this or let's do that. You know, oh, I see you trying to do it this way, but like, let's do it this way. Or like, you know, don't go into this situation. It's a mistake, right? He was always that first person that saw, you know, what was behind, you know, that step you were trying to take. So like, if you're trying to go left, he's like, yo, if you go left, you know, right around that corner is X, Y, and Z. So instead, you might want to go right and then come up against that from the other side. He was always that dude. I don't know how, man. Like, we're the same age. Had a lot of the same experience. But, like, he's just, like, 10 times more street smart than I was at that particular time. And, like, he gave me so much free game. Like, I still quote him to people without them knowing, without him knowing. Like, I still say things that he told me when I was young to sound smart to people now. So that's who that man is. And recently, he told me that he was coming out with this book series, and he told me where to buy a book or whatever. I told him, like, I think he put it on his social media or whatever, and I was like, yo, this is you? And he's like, yeah, it's me. And he's telling me like how he did this. Now, anytime I talk to this dude, like, I don't talk to anybody that often. I'm just not that kind of person. Which is weird that I'm a podcaster, right? But like, anybody I talk to, usually is not often, but it's meaningful. And for him, he just hit me up out of the blue one day. And like, we end up having like a 2-hour conversation. I'm sitting there like with my wife watching a movie, and I'm like, hold on, that's my boy. And then like 2 hours later, I come back. She's like, well, you know, who are you talking to? I'm like, oh, it's my boy Kareem, blah, 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 blah. And we just talking about all this stuff. And let me just tell you how small the world is, right? Like, the current job that I have now, I've been doing like 17 years, right? And when I first started doing this job, he was one of the first people. Like, we never talked about like ever doing the same thing at all. And a matter of fact, I, at this point, I didn't know where he was. And I'm just like strolling around. I'm like, yo, that's Kareem over here. So I go holler at him or whatever. And it turns out like he had been doing it a while longer than me. And he's like telling me the ropes and everything like that. Again, same age, free game, you know. he's like a little bit older than me, but just giving me all the knowledge or whatever. And that's just what he did. Like, he was the one that, like, he understood what wasn't said. You know what I'm saying? Probably not. Anyways, when it comes to like music and therapy, right? Like, this is the dude that, like, me, him, and Will, all three of us, different musical tastes. Like, obviously, some artists we agreed on. But like, between the three of us, we basically covered every form of hip hop available at that time. So like, I honestly could say, like, I wouldn't be the hip hop head if it wasn't for him. You know, he's from Trinidad and Tobago. So like, he kind of brought that that Caribbean influence. And I'm like, yo, I don't know what these guys are saying. They're like speaking patois or whatever. And he's like, oh, they're saying this. So they're breaking down like this and this and this. And he kind of like helped me appreciate that a little bit more. And, you know, when I think about it, like, my youth, the person that I am today, the music lover, everything, like, wouldn't be the same without him. So for him and Will, like, I definitely owe that. Like, I would have been my own person, you know, but definitely, like, those two influenced me a lot. Thankfully, you know, Will's still here. He's doing his thing, and he's still, you know, the same person, like, older, wiser, but still, like, the same person. And, you know, when I found out, I kind of... I didn't want to believe it at first. And then kind of when I found out, I let Will know. And, you know, just the conversation we had after that, I was like walking home from the gym and I'm literally like crying while I'm walking, not ugly face crying, but just like, man, tears are dropping because like this is my homie, right? The three of us, like we just won't be together again. Like it won't be the same. And it didn't end the way that like you would kind of want a friendship like this to end. It didn't come to that conclusion. Which is kind of tough to reconcile, because like at the end of the day, like still my boys, like no matter what happens, right? And I talked to both of them independently, and you know, it's just all love all around, like no bad blood, but it just never came back together. Anyways, that's family stuff. But, you know, when I think about it and I'm just like, man, I'll go back and I'll listen to like a Redman album and I'll listen to Nas. I'll listen to Reasonable Doubt. I'll listen to KRS. And this is going to take me like right back to that era. It's going to be me, him, me, Will, Kareem. And we're just going to be out, probably causing trouble out by the school, probably in a gazebo somewhere, just yelling at each other. I'm trying to get my hair braided. We in and out of the apartments, everything. I'm on the train coming to see them. They on the bus coming to see me. We downtown where we don't got no reason to be out there. Like riding around in the Geo Metro. yo, one day we were like riding around. This probably ain't gonna be funny to anybody but me. But like I'm riding around, Will got a car, and we're in Germany at the time. Will got a car, and we're just riding around, and I could like tell Kareem was like getting like a little bit agitated, right? And like he's kind of a cool brother, like he don't say nothing at first, and like finally after like 5 minutes, he turned to Will. He's like, yo, what you got the heat on Amistad in? And I'm like cracking up, like I'm laughing for like 5 minutes, cause I mean for real it was hot, and like the cars we had back then, like something didn't work. No matter what, like either the window didn't work or the heat didn't work, the air conditioning didn't work, whatever. Like any car that we had, something was broken on it. So we just kind of like live with it. But for some reason, like this day was like particularly hot, and like Kareem's just getting agitated about it, which was rare. He didn't really lose his cool, and when he did, like, you want to react to him, like, being upset or whatever, but it's kind of funny because he started talking fast. He's from Brooklyn, too. Anyways, you know, and so, like, nowadays, I'll still be like, man, you got the heat on Amistad or you got the heat on Africa or something like that, because, like, whenever it's super hot. Anyways, you know, this is good memories with the homie. But at the end of the day, what I'm going to say is, you know, tomorrow's not promised. And we all get to share memories with each other. And singing and dancing, you know, these are all communal activities, like things we get to do together. So, you know, let your life have a soundtrack. Because sometimes those people won't be there at the end of the day. And that song can bring them back. That music can bring them back. You know, for however brief a period. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully, you know, the relationships you have leave behind something, like a legacy, something. And at the end of the day, when the day actually ends, you know, it's a little bit of light, a little bit of sunlight. You know, I'm gonna leave it right there. Thanks, everybody, for listening to TM Podcast. Rest in peace, Kareem. Rest in power. Everything you tried to do, man. He was a good brother. Yeah, thanks again for listening. Hit me up at Oddcast TMP. I've been your host, Chuck. No, stay tuned for the next one. I promise. So if Kareem looking over me, man, he did what he was trying to do. He said he was going to get it his own way. You know, I've been saying I was going to do this, so, you know, I'm going to use that light. And, yeah, y'all be good. Tell your loved ones that you love them, you know? All right, y'all. Be easy.